and pop up. Here he is. Let's just pray God's blessing on the offering we set aside for him. Lord, we thank you for the honor to give. Everything we have belongs to you. But as you have set examples in the Word, we certainly need to support the storehouses of faith that nourish us and those in ministry. And today, embracing hope and anything else to which we direct our gifts, we pray that the ministries supported through this offering will thrive in the power of your Spirit, in the truth of your Word, and that you'll guard all those in ministry. And we pray for embracing hope. We pray for the Shannon family. We thank you for the word that Jerry will bring us today. And we look forward to hearing more about their ministry and continuing to partner with them in ways that have touched Ethiopia and will expand in coming months to Istanbul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Uh-huh. Hey, there it is. We started a ministry in our home with 20 children in our living room. It started with a daycare, and now that ministry has grown to where we do daycare and we do school. We do nursery school and kindergarten and grades through three in an elementary school setting that grows by one grade level every year. We have a feeding center. We have social work for all of our families, free medical care for all of our families. We also provide a spiritual ministry, which engages those families with the gospel. And also providing for the basic needs of those around us. The ministry has grown to the point where now we have 270 children that we serve, as well as their mothers. And it continues to grow year after year. We've been incredibly blessed by the Lord. And we continue to be able to demonstrate Jesus' love and word and deed among the poorest of the poor, living in Kore, a slum area of Addis Ababa. I want to show you this morning just a couple of pictures, a couple of photos, and then we'll move into a reading from God's Word in Luke 14, and also sharing with you a few stories from Embracing Hope and from Ethiopia. The first photo here is, that almost worked. All right, the first photo you just got a glimpse of is, it's back, there we go. This is of our daycare, and these are some of the kids. Every day we have 70 children that come to our daycare. They're provided with a safe place, an early childhood education, while mom is free to go to work. And this is one of our caregivers named Konjit. So we now have 60 Ethiopian staff who take care of all the day-to-day of our ministry there. And she is just one of many of our staff who is a follower of Jesus, who believes in loving on these children day after day, giving them glimpses of God's love for them. This next photo is of our first grade. And our classroom school is located just a couple hundred feet away from the garbage dump in Addis Ababa. Now, part of the reason why we have a school is because of what the alternative would be for these children. Children who live in our area would go to a public school. A public school there has grades 1 through 12 in one building. It's a five-story building. And in each of those classrooms, there is 70 children. 70 children with one teacher. And we've been told that in a good week, the teacher actually shows up 2 to 3 times. I'm thinking, if I'm a teacher with 70 children in my classroom, give me till lunch and I'm running for the door, never to come back again. I can't imagine how much chaos that would be in that room. And in that room, that means that many of those children will never finish their education. They'll drop out along the way. There'll be many, many social problems that come into play there. So what we do as an alternative is we provide a school that has 25 children in a class. We put a teacher and an assistant teacher in each classroom. Those teachers are believers. So they teach the basics of education while also teaching about character and becoming like an extended family to each of these children. And so it's been a great blessing to be able to provide this school in this setting. Now, I mentioned that we work in Kore. Kore is an area of 130,000 people, among the poorest of the poor. And so we really appreciate the way that you demonstrate Jesus' love through us to the people who live there. This morning, we're going to talk about sitting at the table of honor, at the place of honor. And to do so, we're going to look at Luke 14. Steve, does this thing work? Aha, look, there we go. Now, let me ask this question first. Have you ever been seated at the place of honor? Have you ever gone somewhere and they make you take that special seat that is reserved for the most important person? You know, oftentimes in Ethiopia, where I also serve as a pastor, I get invited to things. When I go there, I am seated in the seat of honor time after time. Now, the seat of honor in this room would be right here. So if I was in a meeting in Ethiopia, they would say, take the place of honor, and I would sit in this chair facing all of you for the rest of our time. How many people want to come up here and you can sit here for the rest of our time together? You know, no, not many of us like to sit in this place, do we? And then on top of that, what they would say in Ethiopian context is they would say, the guest of honor today, we also would like you to read scripture and share a little sermon for us now. Well, I never go prepared to these things. I never know what to say, and you would think after all these years I would have something ready. But the place of honor always makes me feel a little unsettled when they make me sit there. The only real advantage to the place of honor is that you get to be first in line for food. So it does have something going for it, but that's about all of it. Here in Luke chapter 14, Jesus also teaches us about the place of honor. But it's a different side of honor that he shows us here. Here, his teaching draws us into the kingdom way. And so I'd like us to read from Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 7, and we're going to read to verse 14. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid. Resurrection of the righteous." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a gift to us. We pray today that you would speak to us through it, transform us by your word and by your spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Here we see a kingdom way to seek honor. You know, people in Jesus' day were not that much different than what we are today. They wanted to choose their own places of honor. They wanted to look successful, gain attention, grow in power, gain fame. Banquets were like business luncheons where you tried to get as much favor as you could in these party settings. The hope was to make a social connection today that would pay you back later. If you could draw attention to how important you are, then that would pave the way for your success. But notice what Jesus says to us in verses 7 to 9. He says, "When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited.
If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this person your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place." The first idea in sitting at the king's table this morning is to find my security in Jesus alone. Here, Jesus draws our attention to seeking security only in Him. Jesus says to us, choose the last seat. The seat closest to the host was reserved for the most important person in the room, the person with the most prestige, the person who was most successful. But the seat at the end of the table was reserved for the loser in the room, the last person to get an invitation, the person who almost didn't get in the door, was seated in the last seat. Jesus says to us, choose the last seat. This is the place of self-examination for us, in that where do I choose to sit? If I'm caught up in making something of myself and gaining power and looking successful, I will try to get to the seat of honor, the seat closest to the host. But if I can be secure in who Jesus has made me to be and who He's calling me to be, then I can willingly choose to not seek the place of honor. You know, people think my family is a bit off, and perhaps we are. You can think that. That's okay. You know, this is close to where we live, right around the corner from this, and this is the city garbage dump. We love where we live. We love this community, the poorest of the poor, being very close to where we live. We love that this is our neighborhood. These are the people we love and we care for. This was recently the scene of a disaster that had happened about 4 months ago. You may have heard about it in the news when there was a landslide that happened in a garbage dump in Ethiopia, leaving 125 people dead officially. The reason we love where we live, though, is because we can find our security in Jesus. This is where He's placed us to be, and so we love it there. A friend recently said to me, he was talking about our family, and he said, "Your family shows so much love just based on where you live." He said, "You could choose to live anywhere in the city of Addis Ababa," and it's true for the most part. But he said, "You choose to live here among the poor. And just by doing that, you demonstrate Jesus' love." You know, the beauty of this is, though, that we don't have to live in a slum to have this kind of security or to show this kind of love. But rather, Jesus invites us wherever we live, whatever neighborhood He's placed us in, to see our own broken desires and to instead submit to Him and to find our security in Him alone and to be a light in that dark place. We can do this because of who Jesus has made us to be through the cross and resurrection. You know, for all who trust in Him, 1 Peter 2, verse 9 is true. Here is a paraphrase of that verse. God has radically reversed your status. You used to be nobodies, complete rejects, and disgraceful outcasts. But now you are God's own people, members of His prestigious family. Our status is reversed. We used to be rejects and nobodies, complete outcasts. But now we are God's own family. That means this world has nothing to offer us in terms of gaining honor or success or power or security. Nothing. Because our God has already settled it. You see, in Jesus we are honored and we sit in the kingdom places of honor. We don't need to strive for it here and now. Rather, we can be secure in His kingdom way. The second idea of sitting at the king's table, verses 10 to 14. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. The second idea is to securely choose the lowest place. Choose the last seat, and then let the host of the banquet call you up to a better place, Jesus tells us. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, having an overinflated ego, you walk into this wedding feast, you walk into the room kind of puffed up, and you look at the seat of honor right beside the host, and you sit down there thinking, I'm the most important person here. This is my seat, so I'm going to take it. And you're secure in that place until you look at the back of the room and you see that more important person turn the corner. All of a sudden, humiliation sits in. You are bumped to a lower place. Now, most of us, we don't act this way, maybe at a wedding, but oftentimes we have ways we do act like this in life. My son Joshua and I recently, we were boarding an airplane. We were in the Dulles Airport. And the call came over the loudspeaker. They said, all business class passengers, please prepare for boarding. Please come to the gate. Well, as soon as they said that, everybody got up out of their seats and started crowding the counter. And, you know, we weren't all flying business class, by the way. Many of us were in the back of the plane. And the attendant had to humiliate some of us. She had to say, okay, I called for boarding class passengers. All the rest of you, please go take a seat because this is not your turn. There's something in us that wants to be number one, that always wants to be first. We have desires to show off our success and possessions or status symbols. Take a look at me, the me-centered advertising we consume. Or just spend 30 seconds on Facebook and watch someone's Facebook rant as they attract attention. There's a brokenness in us that says, I should be number one and I should be in control. But Jesus says to us, choose the last seat and let the host say you're number one. Because if we exalt ourselves, we will be humbled, he says. But if we humble ourselves, we will be exalted. He says that here. You see, with humility comes a great blessing. God has given us a great privilege. We get to serve moms like this mom up here, whose name is Fiza. This is her little daughter, Kokob. She has a son whose name is Ebenezer. And Fiza, she's a widow. She lost everything when her husband died. She started to beg on the streets and live in the slum because there were no safety nets to catch her family. Along the way, our staff started to love on them, humbling themselves to meet her where she was. And today, she is in a much different place. She is full of life. Her kids are full of They're catching a glimpse of who Jesus is because our staff chose the path of humility. In humility, we're called to put our future and our security in our Father's hands. So the way forward is humility. I will choose to put others' needs in front of my own desires. I will choose to seek Jesus' will for my life and not my own. I will put my possessions into His hands for His use, rather than trying to gain power and success and security, managing them on my own. I will find my security in Him alone, which means perhaps doing His work quietly, even if nobody else ever notices. Because the Master will exalt me, will exalt us in His way if we humble ourselves. And truthfully, it's the only way that really matters in the kingdom. The Father will exalt us to bring Himself glory rather than drawing attention to who we are. If we want to sit at the King's table of honor, we find our security in Jesus alone. We securely choose the last seat, the final point, verses 12 to 14. Then Jesus said to His host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Invite others to take their place at the table. Jesus' instructions here went totally against the culture. Culture said, invite the most influential people to your party. Invite the people who will pay you back down the road. Gain influence with the powerful, the wealthy, the decision makers, the religious authorities. By having them come to your party, you could expect a payout down the road. Isn't that what life should be about? They would remember you when you needed them. This was the model for a successful career in the first century, where everything depended on relationships. But Jesus said, do not invite those influential people who can repay you. Rather, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the outcast. Invite them in. And then Jesus gives us this promise, and you will be blessed. Those who spend their time making a life here and now are focused on tasting the blessing today. We get repaid here and now with temporary possessions and power and prestige and security. But Jesus says, invite in the poor and the powerless, and you will be blessed. They cannot repay us in the here and now. They cannot make our lives more comfortable and more secure here and now. But we read that God will repay us at the resurrection of the righteous. This woman who we've served, her name is Dashash, and this is her son, Sala Amlak. They were begging on the streets. Dashash was HIV, she's HIV positive. She was not taking antiretrovirals. It would only be a matter of time until she ended up orphaning her son. She was hopeless. She was an outcast. But her life began to change as our staff started to invite her in and welcomed her to the table. She had nothing at that point in time, but along the way, our staff helped her to buy a sheep. And she took that sheep and she fattened it and she sold it for a profit. And she took her profit and she lived off some of it and she put some more towards another sheep. And over a course of a couple of years, she got to the point where she now owns 7 sheep and she owns 2 cows. 1 cow she milks and she sells the milk in the community. She has another cow that she fattens and sells. And in the 7 sheep, she's constantly fattening and selling them. She's in a much different place today simply because she was invited in to the banquet to take her seat. Or we have another mom whose name is Emma Bate. This is her daughter, Tseganesh. Our staff invited this young mom in who was too young to be a mom, begging on the streets with her daughter. She came to the table and she was loved on. The gospel was presented to her. Her in deed and in word, as our staff loved on her. Along the way, she got the idea of starting a sewing business. And so this is her now. She has a sewing machine and she makes these beautiful quilts and comforters. And she's her own business person, her own employer. She has time to spend with her daughter and she's paying her rent and she's buying food. And she has this little house that she can call home. She's breaking a cycle of poverty. And all it took was a simple intervention of loving on a person, inviting her to come to the table, even though she was outcast, and providing her with so little along the way that has made a huge difference. She was invited into the kingdom party. Our staff welcomed her. But also, there was a family sponsor somewhere in the world that chose to spend a little bit less on themselves, sacrificing just a little bit so that someone could be invited to the table around the world. You know, we see this reordering happening other places in God's Word too. It's a kingdom expectation, and as we become honored in God's eyes through Jesus' finished work, this expectation appears that we would resemble our God and our King with the whole of our lives. So we read things like this towards those in need. Galatians 2, verses 9 to 10. They, James, Cephas, and John, agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we continue to remember the poor, the very thing I'd been eager to do all along. Paul is writing here, and he says, we're going out to share the gospel. We're going on a gospel mission. But what is most important to Peter and the others is what is most important to me, and that is that no matter what, we will remember the poor at the heart of the gospel we share. Or consider Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Take the last seat. Invite in the broken. Stand up for them by resembling our God. You know, this is grace for you and I. Jesus has invited us to sit at the kingdom table, to fellowship with Him, to enjoy the new life that He purchased for us. You know, once we were rejects and losers and nobodies and outcasts, but through the free gift of salvation, He welcomed us. And if you've never responded to that free gift of grace, don't leave here this morning without talking to Steve or talking to one of the leaders here. For those of us who have responded, though, what should we consider as we find ourselves sitting at the King's table? Finding our security in Jesus alone, securely choosing the lowest place, inviting others in. It all boils down to this idea, though. Can I trust God enough? This God who in Jesus gave it all so that I could be called to a place of honor. Can I trust Him to determine where I sit and who I will invite in? You know, for us as a family, we've had this incredible place at His table. Embracing Hope has grown. It continues to thrive. It's doing so well. We love our leadership team that we have there. We love watching people walking out of poverty and coming to know who Jesus is. We love our neighborhood. Yet God spoke to us along the way and He said, will you trust me enough for me to determine where you will sit and who you will invite in? So our Ethiopian program will continue to thrive and continue to grow, but it will do so without our family there. Because in January, Embracing Hope will now expand into Istanbul, Turkey, and our family will move there in January 2018. This city of Istanbul is about 20 million people, 99.8% Muslim. People who are much different than what we are, it would appear. But we will live incarnationally in a poor neighborhood, loving on the poor who are there, while also reaching out to some of the over 500,000 refugees who call Istanbul home. Because you see, this life is never meant to be about our comfort. You read the Bible from cover to cover, and nowhere do we see the pursuit of our comfort. Rather, it's about the Master showing us where to sit at His table and who to invite in. I hope that wherever you live and whoever you come into contact with, that you will join in welcoming those people to the table as well. Be a light in the dark places around you. Steve.
A lot of us have not been called to go to Peru or Ethiopia or Thailand or Bolivia or other places where many are called, but we're called to be here. And it strikes me, Jerry, that as we come here, we also need to come and sit out there, not up here, but even to sit out there with a spirit of humility. And I think there's a danger in us getting caught up with our religiosity, with our mighty and great moving praise songs and all of that which we do to please God, when really what he wants is us to come humbly, surrendered, and yes, to worship, but in a way that comes from a humbled heart. And so I encourage us to think about that where we sit. Not all of us go to banquets and have the place of honor where we can sit, but we can honor God where we do sit, which is right out there. And it came to me some words that the prophet Amos spoke to the children of Israel who were getting caught up with their religion and were forgetting to be humble and forgetting the poor who need justice and the oppressed who need righteousness. And so those words found in Amos 5 say, "I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps, I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Thank you.
Let's stand. And let's pray. We'll dismiss. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price that we could not pay. And we thank you that because of your resurrection, we are resurrection people. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us now to show your resurrection life as we go throughout our week. Every conversation we have, where, and even with us in the neighborhood where we live, may we be known as a people of life, a people of love, a people who demonstrate the compassion and justice of our God. Fill us by your Spirit, we pray, O God, and send us out. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.